Putting all the old stuff behind us, all the bad stuff behind us,
we have some good things that we wish we could carry on over into the new year with us.
That's right.
This morning, guys, we're going to be over in the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John, electronics. So I hope everybody had a great Christmas, had a great time with family and friends. It was great to get that video over the Christmas holiday from Miss Maya, her singing. Was truly encouraged by that. God is great, man, as he disperses gifts like that. May he continue to bless her gift.
Yes.
And open up doors and opportunities for her to use them. Really excited about that. Looking forward to the new year. I think the new year is going to bring a lot of great things for everybody. Mm-hmm. And you have to go into the New Year's with a positive attitude.
Yes.
And I think as a small group, as a small church, we definitely have to be positive. Over the holidays, I was visiting in Columbia and having lunch with a brother up there. He's on staff, and we were talking, and I was asking, ask all the question, how's the church doing? How many people's in the church? What's going on? Because from others, like, are we growing? Are we taking care of each other? Is it unity and everything? And so we were talking about that. And he said, "See, how many in the church done that?" I said, "Brother, well, you know it's 12. You know somebody you say it's 12. You know, it's not like 500, like it's 12. And he laughed at me. He said, "Man, I can see Jesus said, that's a great number there."
So amen.
All I could do was just laugh and say, "Amen, brother. Amen. That's a great number. 12. I said, "Amen." He said, "Jesus did a lot with 12 people." He said, "That's why we're here sitting." I said, "Amen. Thank you, Lord, for that rebuke for me to repent and get on board." Amen. So encouraged by that. Today we're going to talk about we have work to do. Ain't it always? We have work to do. I still would love to be on the working schedule of a campus kid, but we have work to do. And we're going to be on the Gospel of John. And some we're going to look at in the Gospel of John, which is really great. Talks about how Jesus healed a man who was born blind. Got a lot out of studying this. Just looked at just the interaction with Jesus, the disciple, the blind man who he healed, the community, people who knew him and people who didn't know the blind man. Just looking at that whole aspect here. And where we're going to start is in the Gospel of John chapter 9 verse 1. It says, "As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth." Now you got to catch this here. It said blind from birth. "His disciple asked him, 'Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?'" And that stuck out to me. He says, "Rabbi, so whose fault is it? Whose sin is it that he was born blind?" I'm thinking, well, if he was born blind, he couldn't sin yet, so how can it be his fault? And then I think about, they're saying, well, maybe it's the parents' fault and that he's born this way. But Jesus is going to go on a little further in verse 3. He says, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus. He says, "But this happened so that the works of God might be displayed through him." It says, as long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." That simply blew me away. So a couple of things I want to point out here that we're talking about is we're going to do a couple of scenarios. So first we're talking about who are we talking about? We're talking about a man who's born blind, talking about the disciples of Jesus, and we're talking about Jesus and his parents. So these are the people we're talking about right now. These are involved. So what are we talking about? They want to know, why is this guy blind? Whose fault is it? Somebody is guilty of why this man is born blind, or why he is blind from birth. This is just their thinking. When are we talking about? Not sure yet, but we know it's 250 years. This was written 250 years after Jesus was killed. But we know it's somewhere along around doing Jesus' ministry in the middle of about his 31st or 32nd year of being alive on earth in flesh. Where are we talking about? City of Jericho. Not sure if Jesus was leaving Jericho or coming, but it's happening around the city of Jericho. Why are we talking about this? That's the key. Why is God bringing this to us? For the disciples, he wants to demonstrate a lesson in compassion. They were more concerned about who's at fault. But Jesus is about to demonstrate a lesson in compassion toward this guy. And what for? me really before we discuss this, so that I may learn some compassion. You know, we all need some compassion to help other people. You've got to have some compassion to help other people. If you don't have no compassion for other people, it's going to be hard. I think about now that I'm back working in town, working in Jackson, and I'm grateful for the Lord for positioning things the way he has, that I'm in town to be able to work this way. So grateful for him. But working in Jackson, I'm meeting people, having great conversations, and I love it. And I met a gentleman yesterday. I was going out yesterday, did a little work. Met a gentleman yesterday, and we were talking. And we were just talking a little bit. And I'm going to tell you, we have to beware of the, traps of the enemy. Because the enemy is always seeking to trap. So we're having a conversation. He gets on the Trump issue. I'm like, okay. Talking about Trump. And then he goes on to talk. He said, you know, those people. I say, who are those people? He said, you know, the white people. I said, okay. And so I had to revert him back and said, you know, I don't look at him as those people. And, you know, Trump is there, but we're called to pray for Trump. That's a need to be our view. God always challenges us to move out our own personal feelings, our own personal agenda. God says, you need to pray for your enemies.
Yep.
That's part of having compassion. And sometimes it's hard to have compassion for your enemy. It's hard because you let your personal feelings get in the way. But that's the challenge. And I love having a conversation with him and just talking to him. And the one thing I love about it was just enlightening him of this, hey, you know what? It doesn't matter if you're white. It doesn't matter if you're black. You know, we all have a little something in us that makes us a little prejudiced toward one another.
Amen.
That makes us in our heart to kind of get involved in racism. I said, but you got to be positive. You got to look at it from God's point of view. God's trying to save everybody, not just a few. He's trying to impact everybody, not just a few. God is trying to impart his spirit, his love, his compassion on everybody. Not just a few that we think should deserve it and a few who don't.
Right.
We got to be like Jesus. Okay? We know there's something happened here. We know something went wrong. We know things are not all right in your life. But what can we do? What part can we play in it to make it a little better? That's what we got to be like. That's the compassion that people are looking for. That's the compassion that God is looking for from you to impart on other people.
That's right.
We've got to look at that. You know, verse 3 and 5, further down, we'll go again. All right, who are we talking about again? Once again, the blind man, disciples, Jesus, and the parents, we know all that. You know, they want to know who his parents was, have around Jericho, you know. But here's a key part in why we're talking about this. This is what got me. In verse 3, Jesus says, neither this man nor his parents sin, said Jesus. But this happened so that the works of God might be displayed through him. So powerful. That is a powerful statement. You know, God desires to display his mighty, mighty hand, his works through you. But we got to get on board with God's plan. We've got to be humble. We've got to be willing to accept what God says is the right thing to do versus what I feel may be the right thing to do. We got to be open to allowing God to use us. You know, I'm in the community, talk to this young man, I talk to another man, and he's on Social Security, and, you know, we're talking, and this is before going for Christmas break, and talk to this young black man, and I just started saying some things to inspire him and encourage him, and he said, man, well, I want to come up to your church. I said, well, look, I'll be back in town after the holidays, let's get together, let's talk a little bit and everything like that. And he says this thing here, he says, now, I got something to confess to you. I said, okay, I'll confess. He said, man, women are my weakness. I said, well, brother, get in line and take a number. Get in line and take a number. That's nothing new. I said, by the way, here's a secret for women. Men are their weakness too. Yep. Get in line and take a number. God built us as attractive beings. Guess what? But God has a way, brother, for you to temper that weakness.
Yes.
God has a way for you to temper that weakness. You know, I meet interested people and people want answers. And some people are so open, like, hey, I want to come and I want to be a part of God. I want to see God do some great things, you know. But here's my issue with me. I just got to be honest. And he didn't say it from like, oh, I'm this bad person, but here's my issue. Can you help? In order to help people, we got to identify with people.
Yeah.
We got to have a heart. Right. You're not the only one, brother. Right. Don't think this is just unique to you. Mm-hmm. It's just not unique to you. Other people have the same thing, but there are those of us who are far ahead of you, who have gotten on board with God and said, okay, Lord, we're going to do this your way. We're going to fight and struggle every day and to get stronger to be more like you.
Amen.
Jackson is a beautiful community. I look at it. When you get a chance to ride through it, besides the houses that may be broken down and some of the streets may not be looking as good as I'm, it's a beautiful city because God's people are walking through it.
Yep.
You have to look at it from God's point of view. His people are walking through it. And his people need help. And God says he wants to display his might to you and I to help them.
That's right.
That's how they're going to be helped. Yeah, we wish God wants you to snap your finger. Just do something, Lord. Make it happen. Lord, just come on. God said, not let it be too easy. God said, let it be too easy. God said, you know how that is. God said, you know how it is when you help people and you do everything for somebody. What do they want? They want you to keep doing it. They don't want to work for it. If you're going to keep giving me money, I'm just going to keep. Hey, give me money so I can just go be freely, do whatever I want to do. No, God wants you to understand the value of being involved. The value of getting your hands dirty. The value of you working the plow. The value of you spending time with somebody. You know, I thought about, when I was talking to you two young men, two different backgrounds. The older guy just bought a house. He said, it's a fixer-upper, man. He said, but you know what? I bought it, and I'm grateful I got work on it. I said, amen, brother. You have shelter. You have shelter. And look, it may not look like the million-dollar house over there, but you have what they have. You have shelter. Your lights on, you have lights. Water running, you have everything they have. I said, brother, but it's a fixer-upper. Amen. Well, take your time and build it up. The other young man didn't have much on Social Security. And I thought, wow, man, what does this look like? Now, the human side of me said, get him out of the church. But man, what can he really contribute? How can he really help? Are we in a position to really help him? Wow. But then God says, see, that's not even the issue.
Yeah.
You're looking at it the wrong way. You can help. You can help him with the limitations that he deals with and help him get there. You know what? He may not be your biggest giver from a financial point of view, but he may be a bigger giver than anybody that gives in any type of monetary way.
Come on.
God said, you got to look at it that way.
Yeah.
We have a lot of great people in our community, and God wants to display his might to you and I to reach them, to let them know that our Lord is full of compassion and he desires to love them. He desires to help them out from where they are. You know, I think what for, again, is he wanted these guys to understand the urgency of the work that needs to be done. He says, while there is Jesus in the world, I need to do God's work as long as it is life. We need to understand the urgency of helping other people. God's, even Jesus said, man, he says, why it is day. He's telling you why. Because day represents light. While we can see and night has not come in, the darkness has not fully come in, we need to take advantage of this and help as many people as possible. We need to be more involved in our community. We need to be seed planters. You can't baptize nobody until you plant a seed. And guess what? Every seed that you plant, you may not be on the back end of that baptism. You may be on the front end where God wants you at. God needs seed planters. Those two young men that got yesterday, I finished my work and did everything. We sat there and talked to his friend, y'all forever. It was just a great conversation to inspire him, to get him to look. See, we talked about family issues and family matters with him and his brother, his niece, his sister. We talked about it. It was a great time sharing him, counseling him. He enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. Guess what? He said, man, I got to go, man. I want to stay for it. I said, me too. I got to go too. But I'm planting seeds.
Yeah.
Planting seeds of the Lord in his heart. I don't know if he ever walked through these doors, but if the Lord guides him to walk somewhere, man, I know that I played a part in it.
That's right.
Before we can ever see anybody go through all those studies and realize that, man, I need to get off this train track and get on this track with the Lord and get baptized and walk with God, guess what? We got to be seed planters.
Yep.
We got to plant some seeds in some hearts. We got to steer them in the right direction. We've got to have the same urgency that Jesus had. It won't be day for long. It will not always be day. And when night comes, it's going to be a little harder. Harder to see who to help, to see where to go. We've got to have that urgency. Verse 6, it says, after saying this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eye. Go, he told him, wash in the pool of Siloam. This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. Wow, what a great display of what is going on here. Jesus, I'm just going to spit in some dirt. No, I ain't going to do no abracadabra. No, alakazam. No, I ain't going to do no snap my finger, touch your head. No, I'm going to spit in some dirt. I can imagine the look on the disciples' face. I can imagine if we're walking with Jesus, be like, okay, we're looking for the big thing. Right. You've been healing it. What are you doing, dude?
Like, that's nasty, Lord.
Yeah. Lord, like, you know you want to say that. You know, you're like, what is he doing? Spitting in some dirt. I'm going to make some mud out of it. Oh, you're rubbing it in your hands? Oh, come on. And then you're going to put on that guy's eye. I'm telling you, some of our older folks, our grandparents would be like, you don't put that in there, take a stick and hit you with it. But it's amazing. Look at this. God says the very thing I'm going to heal you with, the very thing I created you with. Mm-hmm. I thought, wow. God says, I'm going to create you with dirt. Let's just take dirt and heal you with it. That's amazing. God wants us to understand to help people. It's just the simplest thing.
Yep.
It don't need to be all fancy, powwow, all dressed up. It's just the simplest thing. You know, the simplest thing for us to impart God's spirit on people and for people to see God displayed through us, simple thing for us is just to open our mouths. Mm-hmm. Say hello. How are you doing? What's going on? Start a conversation. The simple thing for us is just to listen and see what they say. And even the simplest thing is to come back to making sure it's about God. Not taking their side, like what they're feeling on their emotions, how they see things, and not letting your side get involved. This way, you know what? This is how God sees it. This is so simple. Speak, listen, and respond righteously. So simple. Mm-mm-mm. That's how God is going to be displayed. So people see God's word. Verse 8 says, his neighbors and those who had formerly seen him beg and ask, isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg? Some claimed that he was. Others said, no, he only looks like him. But he himself insisted, I am the man. How then were your eyes open, they asked. He replied, the man called Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and then I could see. Where is this man? They asked him. I don't know, he said. You know, this is so powerful here that people remember him like, this guy one time could not see. I'm pretty sure it's him. Some others are in denial, like, no, that ain't him. That ain't, he looked like that ain't him. No, that's a gangle doppler. What's it called? A doppler gamer? There you go. You see, no, that ain't him. That ain't him. No, it can't be that guy. And the guy said, it's me. Oh, it's me. Oh, the Lord has worked on me. All I know is that he made some mud and put it on my eye. And I think at that point, he probably don't care if they told him, you know how he made that mud? He probably like, I don't really care at all.
Yes, exactly.
I have not been able to see all my life. I don't care what it is. I can see. It is me. Wow. You know, I look at this whole passage about this blind man being born and Jesus wanting to teach the disciples about having compassion to connect with people. He's also wanting us to understand the importance that it will not always be day, that we need to have an urgency about ourselves to connect with people, you know, and that when we connect with people, as Clayton said, it has a ripple effect, leaves a wake, and it goes on. You know, here it looks, talks about, you know, this is about, you know, God displaying, God being displayed through us that people might be impacted to the point that they would ask, why are you different? Or that they will see a difference in you and I. People need to see a difference in you and me. They need to see that we're not like everybody else in the city. You know, we need to be more like Jesus.
Yep.
We need to teach them to be more like Jesus. We need to help them understand that Jesus' plan, his way, his lifestyle is greater than anybody else. But the only way that we can do that and only that God's might and power and compassion can be displayed through you and I, you and I have to understand we have work to do. Mm-hmm. We just have work to do. I'm telling you, I text my boys and say, hey, look, please don't go nowhere. When I get back home, we got some leaves to do. Mm-hmm. Now, I didn't want to send that text, and I don't want to deal with them leaves, but it's got to be done. Mm-hmm. It's got to be done. Got to get the young leaves. And I said, okay, I'm going to have a plan. We're doing this in 2 hours. That's it. We're going. I got my 2 blowers. We're getting it. I'm going to buy some bags on the way home from Sam's over here. We're going to get, do the work. Mm-hmm. What's the purpose of doing the leaves? Want the yard to look good. Mm-hmm. Want people to see, wow, his yard looks great. Mm-hmm. He's giving his yard up. It may not look as great as the person over there, but he got his leaves up. Mm-hmm. That impacts people. We've got work to do. And sometimes we're like, man, I just, I'm tired. Life stressful. Job working me out. I don't know what I'm going to do. How I'm going to do it. But I know it's got to be done. And I cannot be like the person who says, well, he'll do it. She'll do it. Somebody else will get to it. They'll do it. That's not how God designed us. God says, no, I need you to do it. I need you to do it. He says, I need you to stop having a Moses moment, making excuses why you don't want to. And I need you to get on board.
Yep.
That's what God's saying. You know, the one thing we need to understand going forward, guys, as we close up here, is we all were born blind into the world.
Yep.
And it was not because of our sins, because we had not sinned yet. We had not been born yet. And it wasn't because of our parents' sin. We came into this world spiritually blind. As we grew and we grew up, we learned more about what sin is and how harmful sin is. And then when we sat down and we studied the Bible, we really realized, oh my God, sin is so harmful and so bad and so toxic. You know, the purpose for this is that God may be displayed through you. Why? Because the world around us is in the dark, and we know that.
Yep.
We know that. We have not only lived on this side, which is the light, but we've also lived in the dark. Mm-hmm. So we have an understanding of the playing field. But God says, I need you to go back out there. He says, your light is needed as long as it is day. Yep. You got to remember that. Your light is needed as long as it is day. Mankind needs to know your compassion, which comes from God's compassion. Mm-hmm. You and I, we have work to do. Let's face it. We have work to do. You can't claim homelessness. You can't claim I don't want to work. You can't get away from it. We got work to do. We have to remember, somebody else had work to do long before you and I. And because they did the work, look at where we are. Remember that. Because they decided to do the work, look at where you and I are. Mankind needs healing. It needs freedom from sorrow, from depression, bitterness, anger, disappointment, letdowns, uncertainties, and hopelessness. Think about your community. I always tell people this. People that come, I hear people that come in and say, man, Jackson's just like this and the murder rate and all like this. And I'm always thinking, wow, you know, I used to live in Chicago. I was in my killings every day when I lived up north. Long before I ever moved to Jackson. It's back in the mid-90s. I'm like,
yeah.
I mean, brother, this has been going on. You know, they talk about their great cities and the cities like that. And I'm like, well, you know, your city has a lot of murders and killings going on too. it's not like Jackson's like that. Hey. This is the only place in the world where murder, killing, rape, disappointment, bitterness, mental health have it. It's not like that. Every city you go to, it has its share. That's why we're needed. That's why we're needed. People desire to be free from so much sorrow, bitterness, harm, just lostness, just hopelessness. They desire to be free. Now, in my conversation with one of these guys, I said, you know what? I said, you know, he's trying to help out his knees, and him and his brother talk. I said, you know, it's just going to take a little work. It's going to take, some people take more work than others. But you've got to manage yourself for trying to help. You got to manage yourself. Some people require a lot more. You're expecting the light. Don't you get it? Don't you get it? Why are you not getting it? Come on, man, get it. You have to pray. You have to pray again.
Amen.
And you have to pray some more.
Amen.
And you have to manage your time. And you have to realize that you're not going to be the Superman that can fix all things.
That's right.
God says, this is as much you're going to be able to help them. Let them be. Pray. Move forward. I got other people. They need you.
That's right.
But you have to realize that we have work to do. You and I have work to do. Why? Because Jesus said so. Jesus said that you and I must take advantage of the day because the night is coming. You and I need to have a radicalness about us. Simple thing that God is pointing out here is that we just need to want to help.
That's right.
Want to help. Doesn't matter how they got there. Doesn't matter all the decisions they made in life to get this up in this predicament. We just need to say, okay, we know where we were. Now we know where we need to get to. We have to just want to help.
That's right.
Embrace the work that God has laid out for you and I. Find joy in the work that God has laid out for you and I. Pray about the work that God has for you and I. And be excited that God has chosen you as a vessel, as a conduit, that he may display his great works through you to others. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you guys so much.